يا ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 53. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा किडनैप्स रुक्मिणी. टेक्स्ट नंबर 25. दुर्भगाय नमे दाता नानुकूलो महेश्वरः देवी वा विमुखी गौरी रुद्राणी गिरिजा सती. दुर्भगाय नमे दाता नानुकूलो महेश्वरः देवी वा विमुखी गौरी रुद्राणी गिरिजा सती. दुर्भगाय नमे दाता नानुकूलो महेश्वरः देवी वा विमुखी गौरी रुद्राणी गिरिजा सती. गिरिजासती दुर्भगाय नमे दाता नानुकूला महेश्वरः गौरी रुद्राणी गिरिजासती. माताजी word to a translation. Durbhagaya, who is unfortunate, na, not, me, with me, Data, the creator, Lord Brahma, na, not, anukulaha, favorably disposed, Maheshwara, the great Lord Shiva, Devi, the goddess, Va, or Vimukhi, turned against, Gauri, Gauri, Rudrani, the wife of Rudra, Girija, the adopted daughter of the Himalayan mountain range, Sati, Sati, who in her previous life, as the daughter of Daksha, chose to give up her body. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I am extremely unfortunate, for the Creator is not favorably disposed towards me, nor is the great Lord Shiva. Or perhaps Shiva's wife Devi, who is known as Gauri, Rudrani, Girija and Sati, has turned against me. Purport: Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Rukmini might have thought, even if Krishna wanted to come, he might have been stopped on the path by the Creator, Brahma, who is not favorably inclined towards me. But why should he be unfavorable? Perhaps it is Maheshwar, Lord Shiva, whom on some occasion I did not properly worship, and who thus became angry with me. But he is Maheshwar, the great controller. So why would he be angry with such an insignificant and foolish girl as me? Perhaps it is Shiva's wife, Gauri Devi, who is displeased, though I worship her every day. Alas, alas, how have I offended her so that she has turned against me? But after all, she is Rudrani, the wife of Rudra, and her very name means one who makes everyone cry. So perhaps she and Shiva want me to cry. But seeing that I am so miserable, about to give up my life, why don't they soften their attitude? The reason must be that Goddess Devi is Girija, an adopted daughter. So why should she be soft-hearted? In her incarnation as Sati, she gave up her body, so perhaps she now wants me to give up my body also. Thus the Acharya, with realized poetic sensitivity, interprets the various names used in this verse. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we are reading in these verses Rukmini's feelings, which are expressed in these verses. Rukmini is awaiting Krishna to come and kidnap her, but Krishna had not yet arrived. So at this time Rukmini is getting different doubts in her mind. In fact, as we read the purport, each of the words which Rukmini has used in this particular verse, it conveys the different feelings of Rukmini, and which are expressed by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Just like Rukmini was thinking that maybe Krishna was coming to save me, but on the way Lord Brahma, the Creator, must have stopped him, so therefore he has not yet arrived. Or then Rukmini was thinking, actually, why should Lord Brahma be unfavorable to me because of that? He must have stopped Krishna. Maybe it is Lord Shiva. I might have committed some offense in the worship of Lord Shiva, so therefore Lord Shiva is creating some obstacle for Krishna to come here. And then she thought that, actually, I am such an insignificant person. Why should Lord Shiva want to why would he want to show his anger towards me? Why would he want to take revenge against me by trying to stop Krishna? Maybe it is not Lord Shiva, but perhaps it is Gauri Devi, the Shiva's wife, although I worship her every day, maybe she is creating some obstacle. But then she was thinking, but then I have never committed any offense to Gauri Devi. So why would she want to create some obstacle? Then she is thinking, but Gauri is also called as Rudrani, the wife of Rudra. Rudra means one who makes others cry. So maybe Gauri, being the wife of Rudra, she wants to make me cry. So therefore, she is actually wanting to create some obstacle for Krishna to come and save me. Or then Rukmini was thinking, but is she not getting some compassion seeing my suffering? Is her heart not becoming soft because I am suffering so much? Is she not able to understand the pain of my heart? Then Rukmini Devi is thinking, yeah, normally when a person sees the pain of others, one would become little compassionate, one would become soft-hearted. But in the case of Girija, because she is called as Girija, the adopted daughter of the Himalayan mountain, so that is why she is having a little hard heart. And she is maybe wanting, and she is also addressing by the word Sati. Just like she gave up her body in the sacrifice of Daksha Prajapati, maybe she is wanting me also to give up my body. So that is why she is not, she is creating this obstacle, and she is wanting me to give up my body. So we see here, Hridayananda Maharaj is writing that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, with his realized poetic sensitivity, he is actually giving these meanings. Just like I think a few years back, the Janmashtami class, Gaurang Prabhu was talking about different reasons for why Krishna closed his eyes when Putana came to kill Krishna. In fact, His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj gives some 21 different reasons. So if you see, the point is that these acharyas who are giving different reasons for why actually Krishna closed his eyes, or for that matter here, what actually Rukmini is feeling when she is speaking these different words, they were not actually present at that time. They were not present when the pastime was going on. They all appeared much later. But they could actually understand the feelings of these personalities, and they are actually writing their feelings in their commentaries. So that means the important lesson is that it's not that one has to be personally present when the Lord was performing his pastimes. So what is more important is our attitude. So when a person has a right attitude, even though he may not be personally present when the Lord was performing the pastimes, one may be able to understand the feelings of the Lord and his devotees when they were performing those pastimes. Especially in Kali Yuga, people give preference to, you are not able to see God, how can you actually believe that God exists? But actually, even those people who are, when Krishna was personally present, when they were that time, many people were personally there with Krishna, but still they could not actually, they were not convinced that Krishna was God. Duryodhana was trying to arrest Krishna. So what is important is not the personal presence, but what is important is actually the attitude with which we approach the Lord, by which the Lord actually reveals the feelings. So I want to talk about different aspects of Rukmini. We see here that this particular thing was talked about in so many classes, how Rukmini Devi, simply by hearing about Krishna, she developed attraction for Krishna. And that too, Sulnas Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that it's not that some people were appointed to give some private Bhagavatam classes to Rukmini. They were just talking about Krishna, she just overheard, and then she developed attraction towards Krishna. So this principle of hearing, this one beautiful prayer of Prithu Maharaj, in that it is highlighted so nicely. So Prithu Maharaj is praying, Na kamaye na tatadapyaham kvachin nayatrayusmat charanambujasava mahattamantar hridayanmukachyuto vidatsvakarnayutameshamevaraha. So he says, Na kamaye nata tadapyaham kvachin. So Prithu Maharaj is saying, first of all he says like what he does not want. He says that I do not want liberation even in the worst of difficulties. Na kamaye nata tadapyaham kvachin. Tadapyaham kvachin means like at any time. Or Vishnu Chakotakur says that I do not want liberation even in the worst of difficulties. Like sometimes when we go through like so many difficulties, some health crisis or different this thing, we just desire, I just want to get liberated from all these problems. Like when everything is going on nicely, everything is going on nicely, why should I desire liberation? But here he says, I do not desire liberation even in the worst of difficulties. And on top of that he says, because liberation brings sorrow, so therefore I do not want. So then the Lord is saying, how are you saying this? Why do you not want liberation? Because there are so many jnanis and yogis, they are performing so much of austerities just to get liberated from the material existence. So then Prithu Maharaj says, because in liberation there is no opportunity, there is no nectar of your lotus feet. The nectar, nayatra yusmat charanam bujasava, there is no nectarian beverage of your lotus feet. That nectar is not available in liberation. So then the Supreme Lord asks, that what kind of nectar are you talking about? Then Prithu Maharaj says, actually this nectar arises from the heart of the devotees. This nectar of your lotus feet is stored in the heart of your devotees. And then when we ask the question, how can a person get access to this nectar? He says, Mahatta mantar hridayan mukachyuto. So this nectar is stored in the heart of the devotees, and this emanates from the mouth of the devotees. So this is especially very important, because when it comes to devotees, they have the nectar of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet stored in their hearts. But that nectar especially emanates from their mouths. It's not mentioned that maybe when they pat on their somebody's back, maybe the nectar emanates. I'm not saying there's something we definitely look forward to personal association. But then especially what is mentioned is that when they actually speak, that nectar of the Lord's lotus feet actually emanates from their mouth. That means, with respect to us, the most important organ in order to get access to the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet when we associate with the devotees is actually ear. So that is the most important organ. That means like hearing from the devotees is the most important thing in order to take advantage of the devotees. Like for example, in the Tattva Sandarbha, in the beginning, Jiva Goswami, he's offering obeisances to his superiors. He says that all glories to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. All glories to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So in the Gopi Parandan Prabhu, he writes in his purport, quoting Baldev Vidyabhushan, he says that Jiva Goswami, when he is actually glorifying Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, he is saying that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, their position of being Vaishnava must be appreciated by all the Vaishnavas all over the world. So that is the significance of the word Jayati when he composes that verse. Jayati Rupa Sanatana. He is not just simply glorifying Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. He's saying Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, their position must be appreciated by all the Vaishnavas all over the world. So usually when somebody writes Vaishnava literature, in the Mangalacharan, Mangalacharan has three aspects: the object of the book, and a person offers obeisances to the superiors, and a person gives blessings to the readers. But here we may not find explicit verse. Of course, Rupa Jiva Goswami mentions one verse later where he gives blessings to the readers also. But Gopi Parandan Prabhu says that Jiva Goswami, by reminding the glorious position of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, he is actually giving blessings to all the readers. So that means when a devotee reminds the glorious position of the Supreme Lord or the previous acharyas or other great devotees, that is actually his blessings to the hearers. So we may not even have to separately ask for blessings. So when we simply get reminded from hearing about the devotees, by hearing about the glorious position of the Supreme Lord or the previous acharyas, by that we are already actually accessing the blessings of the devotees. So there is no, in that sense, even if we don't get an opportunity to separately ask for blessings, simply by hearing from the devotee, you already actually got the full blessings of the devotees. So that is what Gopi Parandan Prabhu says, that Jiva Goswami, by reminding the position of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, is actually giving blessings to the readers. So we see, like, for example, so suppose a person has got a chronic disease. So he goes to some Ayurvedic doctor, and he's taking treatment from Ayurvedic doctor 6 months. Disease has not gone, and then he takes some homeopathic medicine. Still it is persisting, and then he takes some naturopathy, allopathy, so many doctors. But then he's been suffering from this disease, but somehow no treatment was working. And finally, somebody says that, oh, you meet this particular doctor, he has cured so many people having a similar problem, and your problem will be cured for sure. But his appointment is only, you'll get after 4 or 5 months because he's so packed up. So, like, when we get information of a doctor who can cure our chronic disease, and when we hear that our appointment is only after 4 or 5 months, so we try to, maybe if somebody knows some doctor, we try to prepone the appointment so that, because we have experienced the sufferings of the chronic disease for a long time, so we want to actually meet that doctor very soon. And then even when we actually go to meet the doctor, like, suppose you come to know that doctor is from the same village, or he has studied from the same college or something, so maybe you may want to talk about, where did you study, which class, or where did you live in your native place. So you may talk about that, but then you may not allow that kind of talk to actually distract you from your real purpose of taking the medicine. That means, like, when you go to a doctor, suppose when you know that the doctor is from a similar place, you might have a little socializing dealing with the doctor. But you will not allow that need for socializing to distract you from the real purpose of taking the medicine from the doctor. So if we see, like, we may be having different chronic diseases for 5 years or 10 years or something, but what is actually the greatest disease? The Prachetas, they pray, Vayam tu sakshat Bhagavan bhavasya Sudish chukitsyasya bhavasya mrityor. They say that the greatest disease, which is most difficult to cure, is the disease of bhavarog, the disease of material existence. So that is the greatest disease of, which is most difficult to cure. And in fact, and what is the medicine for that disease? നിവൃത്ത തർഷ ഉപഗീയമാണാത് ബവൌഷധ ശ്രോത്ര മനോഭിരാമൻ. ദ ഡിസീസ് ഫോർ ദ മെഡിസിൻ ഫോർ ദ ഡിസീസ് ഓഫ് ബവരോഗ് ഇസ് ആക്ച്വലി കൃഷ്ണകഥ. ആൻഡ് ഇൻഫാക്ട് ഇഫ് യു സീ ഇൻ ദ കേസ് ഓഫ് എ ക്രോണിക് ഡിസീസ് വി മേ ബി സഫറിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദ ഡിസീസ് ഫോർ മേ ബി 5 years ഓർ 10 years ഓർ 15 years ഓർ ഫ്യൂ ഡെക്കേഡ്സ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ദ കേസ് ഓഫ് ദ ഡിസീസ് ഓഫ് ബവരോഗ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ജസ്റ്റ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഓഫ് ഫ്യൂ ഡെക്കേഡ്സ് ഓർ ഫ്യൂ maybe a few hundred years. It is actually a disease which you have been suffering since many lifetimes, in fact since time immemorial. So if we understand the gravity of this particular disease, how much more we will be focused when we meet a bona fide spiritual master in trying to get the medicine of Krishna Katha. So if a person is not focused in hearing Krishna Katha from a bona fide spiritual master, that means he has not understood the gravity of the disease. One has not understood the gravity of the disease. So we see that for example, in this world we may not find people going to a doctor for satisfying their emotional needs or some socializing needs. When they go to a doctor, they may be, especially they'll be focused on actually getting the medicine from the doctor. But we do find people, when they come to a spiritual doctor, that is a sadhu, instead of especially focusing on getting the medicine of Krishna Katha, they mainly come to actually fulfill their maybe socializing needs or emotional needs. So what is the actually reason for it? Because the reason is that when a person goes to a doctor, they are focused on getting the medicine from the doctor because they are convinced that they are actually the patient and he is the doctor. So therefore, they are focused on telling their problem and showing their reports and then taking advantage of the full time of the doctor, and they are focused on getting the medicine from the doctor. But when a person goes to a sadhu, why people are not interested in hearing Krishna Katha is that because they are not convinced that they are actually the patients. Once Prabhupada was in France, that some devotees brought some psychiatrist to come to meet with Prabhupada. So the psychiatrist came, and at that time Prabhupada was meeting somebody else, then he was told to wait. And psychiatrist started asking the devotees, "Oh, where is the patient?" So he thought that usually doctor, if he is actually waiting, he is wanting to, he thought that the devotees have brought him to actually treat some patient. But he was not aware that he himself was a patient. He was come to actually meet with a doctor. He was brought to a doctor. So usually, because why people come to a sadhu to satisfy their socializing needs is because they are not convinced that they themselves are the patient. And for example, why they are not convinced that we are not the patient? When we go to a doctor, we are convinced that we are the patient, so we are focused on getting the medicine from the doctor. But when we go to a sadhu, we are not convinced that we are the patient and he is the doctor. So what is the reason? Because the reason is that, suppose when a person goes to a doctor to get cure from his diabetes or some heart problem or something, so he has experience of his healthy life previously. So he has that memory of his healthy life previously, and in the past some few years or something, he has been suffering. So therefore, he is wanting to get back his health, so therefore he is actually convinced that he is the patient. But in the case of the disease of Bhavarog, means the disease of lust, greed, anger, envy. So we have completely forgotten the lust-free life, anger-free life. We have completely forgotten how blissful the life was without being affected by these anarthas. So therefore, we are actually thinking that this deceased life to be the normal life. Because we have forgotten the memory. So therefore, when we come to the spiritual master or a doctor, are the bona fide representative of the Lord, we are not looking for the medicine of Krishna Katha, because we don't feel that we are actually the patient, and we are not, we just mainly come to fulfill our socializing needs or maybe emotional needs or something. So therefore, first thing is like, we have to actually understand that we are the patient. Again, going back to the verse of Prithu Maharaj's prayers, so he says, Mahatta Mantar Hridayan Mukachto Vidatsva Karna Yutameshamevara. He says that, I want to hear Krishna Katha from the hearts of the devotees. And this Krishna Katha is taking place in so many places, so therefore I want millions of years, because I don't want to miss out even a single Krishna Katha. So he especially uses the word Mahatta Mantar Hridayan Mukachyutu. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, so Prabhupada says that, so this talks of Krishna, Prithu Maharaj is saying, this should emanate from the mouths of the pure devotees who speak from the cores of their hearts. So that means, when the pure devotees, when they speak from the core of their hearts. Many times when we speak, even when we speak Krishna Katha, it may be more from an intellectual platform, or it could be more from an emotional platform, or it could be more from a mental platform. So when we speak from an intellectual platform, people, they are affected in their intelligence, but they don't get the inspiration to dedicate their lives. Or when we speak from an emotional platform, like sometimes people have Bhagavad Sapta, and then people hear Bhagavad Sapta, they start crying. But then they go back to their homes, and then India loses the match, and they are crying there also. It means like they're just affected emotionally. So there's no inspiration to actually maybe to follow some principles or to increase the dedication, because the Krishna Katha was more from emotional platform. But if we see in the case of Narada Muni, when Narada Muni was preaching to Hariyashwas, he just spoke a riddle. He just spoke some 10 verses. He spoke some riddle. In one sense, he spoke from an intellectual platform. But the result was that the Hariyashwas, they were not affected intellectually, but they were ready to dedicate their lives for Narada Muni. When Narada Muni spoke to Savalashwas, the brothers of Hariyashwas, he said, he more spoke from an emotional platform. He said, you are all the brothers of Hariyashwas. See what your brothers are doing. You have so much affection for your brothers. Just follow in the footsteps of your brothers. So he just spoke from an emotional platform. But the result was that it's not that they were just affected emotionally, but they were ready to actually dedicate their lives for Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, when he spoke to Prachina Barishat, he spoke some allegorical stories, some masalas like that. But the point is that when Prachina Barishat heard that, it's not that he just said, oh, what a story he spoke. But he was actually, ultimately dedicated his life for Narada Muni. So the point is that, when we speak from an intellectual platform or an emotional platform, people are affected only intellectually or emotionally. But in the case of Narada Muni, it appeared that he spoke from an intellectual platform or emotional platform, or he spoke just some stories or something. But the result was that people were not just affected intellectually or emotionally, but they actually underwent a transformation of the heart, and they were ready to give their hearts for Narada Muni. So why is it that these people who heard from Narada Muni, they underwent such transformation? Because Narada Muni, when he heard from Bhaktivedantas, he had given his full heart to serving the Bhaktivedantas, and he had given his full heart in hearing from the Bhaktivedantas. So because of that, even though it externally, although it appeared that he spoke from an intellectual platform, but people, when they heard, they were actually transformed from their hearts. In fact, if we see Narada Muni, like Vishnu Chakravarti writes in that first canto, second chapter, Yaha Swanu Bhavam Akila Shruti Saram Ekam, Tam Vyasa Sunam Upayami Guru Munina. Shukdev Goswami became the incomparable guru of all the sages. So it is described that Narada Muni, Shukdev Goswami was such a great person that even personalities like Narada Muni heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukdev Goswami for 7 days and 7 nights as if he had been hearing for the first time. Actually, Narada Muni himself was a seasoned speaker. And Shukdev Goswami is a grand disciple of Narada Muni. But Narada Muni, he was actually hearing from Shukdev Goswami as if he has been hearing Krishna Katha for the first time. So that means, because he had given his heart for hearing Krishna Katha, but because he gave his heart for serving the Bhaktivedantas, even though apparently he spoke from an intellectual platform or emotional platform, people were not affected only intellectually or emotionally, but they actually underwent a transformation. So that is what it means, like Hridayan Mukachyuto. So in fact, like one Prabhupada pastime, that Prabhupada was telling a story, example. He said, like, why wars are happening? He was saying that like many times wars happen between different nations and then so many people are killed. So it is actually the material nature brings, like sometimes when a teacher wants to punish two students in a class. So she tells the students to actually hold each other's ear and like stand up, like rise up and down. And they say both people punish each other. So similarly, material nature brings people like Hitler and Churchill together, and then it creates wars between two nations and then people are killed each other. Both of them have done the mischief and both of them are killed by each other. So Prabhupada was telling this story and then Prabhupada was laughing when he was giving this example of teacher making students actually rise up and down. And then other devotees were also started laughing. But Harishori Prabhu, he writes in his book that when devotees were laughing, but he says that, but we felt as if we were transferred to the banks of Yamuna where Krishna was enjoying his picnic with his cowherd boyfriends. So here, Prabhupada is not speaking some Vrindavan pastime or some Radha Krishna pastime, like which is making people to think of Vrindavan. He is just speaking about, in one sense, like why wars are happening. And he is giving an analogy of a teacher punishing the students. But the devotees who are hearing, their feeling is that we felt that as if we are transported to the banks of Yamuna. So because the reason is that even when a pure devotee, because his heart is connected with Krishna, even when he speaks apparently from a emotional or intellectual platform, but people when they hear, they actually get reminded of Krishna, or their hearts are transformed. So this is actually, the beautiful verse in the Dhruva Maharaj section, when Kuvera came and asked, told Dhruva Maharaj, when Dhruva Maharaj stopped the fighting, he said, you please ask me, I am ready to give you any benediction. That time, it is Maitreya Rishi says, Sa Raja Rajena Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamatihi Harousa Vavram Chalitam. He says that Dhruva Maharaj, when he was asked by the king of kings, Kuvera, to ask for any benediction, Dhruva Maharaj, he being the most intellectual devotee, Mahabhagavato and Mahamati, being the topmost intellectual devotee of the Lord, did not ask for anything material. He just asked for unflinching remembrance of the Lord. So usually here especially the word used is Mahamati. Mahamati means the highly intellectual person, or Prabhupada translates as the highly thoughtful person. So usually we think in terms of somebody who is thoughtful or intellectual means somebody who is able to analyze different things. But here Prabhupada says Dhruva Maharaj is called as highly intellectual or highly thoughtful because he did not ask for anything material, he just asked for unflinching remembrance of the Lord. So in that sense, like Bhagavatam takes us to another level of who is actually called as intelligent. So like for example, like this verse comes in the 10th canto, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetru dhatake swadhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyadi. That when a person goes to a holy place, simply to take a bath in the holy place, not to hear from a holy person, he is like, he's on the bodily platform, he's considered to be a cow or an ass. But if we see that, suppose a person goes to a hospital, and he goes to, the hospital has 10 floors and then he goes to each and every floor and he goes to sees each and every department and all the instruments. But the only thing is like forgot to meet the doctor. Like going to a hospital for sightseeing and not to meet the doctor. So that is like something like going to a holy place. That a holy place, it also refers to a temple. Just to for sightseeing but not to hear from a holy person. But actually if we see in Kali Yuga, like this verse had gone to another level only. Like we may think of like somebody going to a hospital for sightseeing, but what if somebody goes to a hospital for some DJ party? Like, you may think like what are you talking about there? How can somebody go to a hospital for a DJ party? But actually if we see, that's what is happening. Like people go to a holy place for sense gratification. That means for increasing their disease. Like if we see in the scriptures, whoever goes to the northern direction, to the Himalayan direction, they go at the end of their life for practicing Vairagya. Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, the Pandavas. It's called as Vairagya Bhumi. But nowadays people go to like Haridwar. Like I saw a board there, like DJ, some big board was there something in Haridwar. So in the banks of the Ganges there were so many tents where you can book the tents from Delhi and different places where you can have some nice sense gratification. Or people go to Jagannath Puri for some fresh fish. So that means if you see, that is something like people going to hospital for having some DJ party. That means it's like going to, like we can see the height of Maya. So the point is that and even if somebody goes to a holy place to hear from a holy person, but the problem is the holy places are filled with quacks. Holy places are filled with quacks, like some duplicate doctors. Like we were there in Haridwar. Like just at the banks of the Ganges, some Ganga Arati was happening. Just before that, some discourse was happening. But the people who was giving the discourse, he was just giving speaking pure Mayavad philosophy. So in that circumstances, actually, although we may speak about that, but then, like even if we have not come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, if we had not come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's devotees, then maybe we would also be going to Jagannath Puri or Haridwar for the same purpose, for having some DJ party. So that is what actually what saved us is the sound vibration of the great souls in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. So if we see, so this is one thing which I wanted to talk about the principle of hearing. That Rukmini, simply by hearing from the devotees, she developed attraction for Krishna. And another thing, especially in these verses, we see that Rukmini is having different doubts. This is another this is another phase which a sadhaka actually goes through. We may come in contact with Krishna consciousness, but when we start practicing devotional service, when we go through different situations, we may get actually different doubts. So, if we see Kadambakanan Maharaj, he explains in one place, he says that actually, to some extent, we have to have blind faith even when we are practicing devotional service. Because, Vishnu Chakravarti explains in the Madhuri Kadambini, only at the stage of prema, all the eradication of the anarthas is complete. And as long as the anarthas are there, there will be some doubts. And the eradication of the anarthas will be complete only at the stage of prema. And if you see, the eradication of the anarthas, they cause certain darkness. Eradication of the anarthas, they cause darkness because of that we are not able to see the reality properly. But even when we have certain, when you are not able to see the reality properly, when you are seeing the darkness, but still, even though we have not come to the stage of prema, we have the anarthas, we have doubts, but still, we can stay focused on the road through the headlights of the order of Guru and Gauranga. So when there is a headlight of the car, when you are going in the vehicle, the darkness is not completely eradicated. But that headlight is at least helping you to focus on the road. You can at least see the white lines of the road. Oh, this is the left side of the road, this is the right side of the road. So as long as the headlight of the Guru and Gauranga's order is there, and as long as we stay focused on the road, and as long as we stay within the limits of the regulative principles, we go within the limits of the two limits of the road, that means like we stay within the regulative principles, and as long as we don't see above our shoulder, that means like as long as we don't give in to our material desires, even though we have not come to the stage of prema, we can actually still go safely on the road. So in that sense, actually there will be certain degree of doubts till the stage of prema, but still one can go on safely as long as we stay focused on the road. Like for example, in the Prabhupada writes in the third canto, Kapiladeva mentions in a verse, he says like, doubt is a sign of intelligence, characteristic of intelligence. But Prabhupada says, although doubt is a sign of intelligence, but doubting in the authority is the cause of destruction. Doubting in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra is a cause of destruction. So if you see that, like when Arjuna asked this question in the fourth chapter, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katam yetad vijaniyam tomado proktavaniti. He says that, how am I to understand that you gave this knowledge to sun god so many years back, because sun god is senior by birth to you. So if you see, the way Arjuna is asking this question, he is giving a benefit of doubt to Krishna. One is doubting Krishna, and another is giving a benefit of doubt to Krishna. Like for example, in a cricket match, suppose when there is a LBW, people are asking for, oh, how is that? Or when there is a caught behind or something. So when the umpire is having a doubt, he always gives the benefit of doubt to the batsman or not to the bowler or other sides. I don't know what the situation now, because there are so many other technological this one. But because the reason is that if the benefit of doubt is given to the bowlers, suppose if the batsman is not out, then he no longer has any chance to again actually bat, because he is sent out. But if the benefit of doubt is given to the batsman, but the bowler said, they again have a chance to actually make him out. So similarly, like when we go through certain situations, if we give the benefit of doubt to ourselves, I am right, oh Krishna is wrong. So by that we are actually disconnecting ourselves with Krishna, and that actually puts an end to ourselves. That puts an that means like it may be many lifetimes again we connect ourselves to Krishna. But if we give the benefit of doubt to Krishna, that means like we are giving another chance. We are putting faith in Krishna. We are allowing Krishna to actually work on ourselves. So, but in the case of Arjuna, Arjuna is actually giving the benefit of doubt to Krishna's words. So, way he Arjuna asks the question, it shows that how Arjuna is giving benefit of doubt to Krishna's words. But more difficult is to actually giving the benefit of doubt to Krishna's actions. Means like when different situations arise in our life, giving benefit of doubt to Krishna's actions, that is even more difficult. But when we do that, that actually that will help. When we give benefit of doubt to Krishna, like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu writes that Krishna gives freedom from doubts. So if we see, so therefore Krishna says that agnyascha ashraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosi na paro nasukam samshayatmanah. Krishna says that for a doubting soul there is neither happiness in this world nor happiness in the next life. So if we, like for example, like some people, those who are skeptics, like they consider, they feel proud of being skeptics. Because they ask so many questions and every small detail, they feel actually proud of being skeptics. But actually, the problem with skeptical people is that, the problem is not they are excessively skeptical, but they are selectively skeptical. The problem with skeptical people is that, they are not too much skeptical, but they are not enough skeptical. They are not enough skeptical. So that means, they are actually skeptical about everything except skepticism. Like Sigmund Freud, he tells, he is given a quote, if one regards oneself as a skeptic, it is well from time to time to be skeptical about one's skepticism. So when the problem with the skeptical people is that they are not using skepticism as a tool, but they have made a skepticism as God and they have surrendered to that God. Like when a patient is actually skeptical, then that will help a person, that will help the patient to avoid the quacks. But if the patient is eternally skeptical, then he will eternally remain in the diseased condition. The skeptical people, instead of using skepticism as a tool, they have made a skepticism as a god and they are worshipping that skepticism as a god. So because of that, they are eternally in ignorance. So what is the actually solution for doubts? So Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagrammam yata gyasati tachrunu. He says, if you hear from me, you will be freed from all the doubts. Or Gajendra says in his prayers, sarvendriya gunadrashre sarva pratyaya hetave asata choya yuktaya sad abhasayate namaha. He says that sarva pratyaya hetave. He says the solution for all doubts is actually Krishna. So when we, even when we are having doubts, it is not that we have to go back and do something else. We have to again take shelter of the same process of devotional service, and by that those doubts will be eradicated in due course of time. So that is what it means, sarva pratyaya hetave. And just few more points. Like in the case of Rukmini, if we see this particular situation which we are reading, so currently Krishna has not come to reciprocate with Rukmini, and she is just expecting when Krishna will come, and she is getting so many doubts about what is happening. And later we'll see, I think the next chapter and this chapter, when Krishna actually kidnaps Rukmini, and then there are so many armies, they are actually ready to attack Krishna. That time Rukmini becomes very anxious. That time Krishna says, Masma Vama Lochana. He says that, do not worry. your army will defeat all these armies in a short time. So if we see this particular situation and the words spoken by Krishna, we see two principles. So when we see Rukmini's pastime, when we see Rukmini from the point of view of the goddess of fortune, and when you see Rukmini from the point of view of a living entity. So when you see Rukmini from a point of view of a living entity, so Krishna is telling to Rukmini, your army will defeat all these armies in a short time. Actually, Krishna has established a relation with Rukmini just few moments back. But Krishna is saying, all these armies belong to you. That means like Krishna is ready to share all of his opulences with a living entity who has established his connection with him just few moments back. So that shows actually Krishna's attitude of mercy, his attitude of encouragement. And here if we see Rukmini from the point of view of the goddess of fortune, even though Rukmini is the goddess of fortune, Krishna came to save Rukmini only at the last moment. Means like Krishna is tested Rukmini till the last moment. There is an attitude of strictness of Krishna with Rukmini. So that means the Lord always has these two aspects when he deals with the devotee. There is an aspect of punishment and also mercy. There is an aspect of encouragement and also there is an aspect of strictness. So this we see throughout the Bhagavatam. Like for example, in the episode of Chitraketu Maharaj, so when you read the 6th canto 17th chapter, when Chitraketu Maharaj was being cursed by Parvati Devi, so Prabhupada writes in that purport that Krishna wanted Chitraketu Maharaj to come to the spiritual world quickly. So therefore he arranged for Chitraketu Maharaj to be cursed by Parvati Devi. But if you read the purport in the 7th canto 1st chapter, there Prabhupada quotes this verse, Tanaham Dushata Kruran Samsareshu Naradaman, and he says, when a living entity blasphemes the Supreme Lord or his devotee, the Supreme Lord casts him into a lower species. And the classic example is Chitraketu Maharaj. Because he derided Lord Shiva, Krishna cast him into a lower species as a demon and then purified him and then he took him back to God. So there Prabhupada talks about the aspect of punishment in dealing with Chitraketu Maharaj. So basically we see both these aspects. And finally, if we see the qualities of Rukmini, so we see two qualities in the Rukmini's letter. Rukmini exhibits her eagerness and also Rukmini exhibits her patience. So Rukmini exhibits her eagerness and even Rukmini exhibits her patience also, because the last verse spoken by Rukmini is that she writes in that letter that if I don't achieve your association in this lifetime, then I will give up my life. But then she says that, she is not saying that I will give up the practice of devotional service, but I will practice devotional service for hundreds of lifetimes, but maybe after hundreds of lifetimes I will achieve your mercy. That means that she is also exhibiting the quality of patience. So many times if we see, like in our this one, like sometimes when a person practices devotional service, so we may have some eagerness, like sometimes devotees say that I want to develop taste, I want to develop taste for chanting, or I want to develop taste for devotional service. But if we examine this desire for taste, like Rupa Goswami says, when he talks about Anya Bilashita Shunyam, he says the desire to go to the higher stages of devotional service, Ruchi or Asakti or Bhava, these desires, they do not disqualify one from pure devotional service. Because these desires are born from the practice of devotional service. Because Anya Bilashita Shunyam means one should be devoid of any other desire apart from the desire to please Krishna. But what about the desire to achieve taste or desire to achieve Bhava? But he says these desires do not disqualify, because these desires arise from the practice of sadhana bhakti. As Krishna says that, atachittam samadhatum na shaknosi maistram abhyasa yogena tato. When you practice the regulative principle of sadhana bhakti, maam ichyaptum dhananjaya, you will develop a desire to attain. But when we have desire for taste, we have to introspect, Is this desire arising from the strict practice of sadhana bhakti, or is desire arising from the conditioning produced by the modern lifestyle? Because in the modern lifestyle, we are used to getting everything immediately. So when we are used to getting results immediately, then when we allow that lifestyle to condition our consciousness, then with that conditioning, when we come to devotional service, we also expect, oh, after 5 years, I have practiced, chanted for 5 years, so where is the taste? So when this desire for taste, it is not arising from the strict practice of sadhana bhakti, but it is arising from the conditioning produced by the modern lifestyle. So that is something to be introspected. So therefore, if we see that, so when Rukmini is actually exhibiting eagerness, it is not that eagerness is actually accompanied by patience, because that eagerness is arising from the strict practice of sadhana bhakti. So, but when we actually have some eagerness, we have to introspect, is it accompanied by patience? Are we ready to actually wait for the whole lifetime? Even if we don't get a taste, are we ready to actually chant Hare Krishna for the whole lifetime? So when that eagerness is not accompanied by patience, then this eagerness is not arising from the practice of sadhana bhakti, but it is actually arising from the conditioning produced by the modern lifestyle. So in this way, we see this, we talked about the five aspects. The first is about how the acharyas, even though they are not personally present during the pastimes of Krishna, they were able to understand the feelings of the devotees. And secondly, we talked about the importance of hearing from the devotees. And thirdly, we talked about the principle of dealing with the doubts, and then about the aspect of punishment and mercy, and then finally about eagerness accompanied by patience. So I'll stop here. I think since it's beyond time, I'll stop here. Vantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.